Now, this morning, what I want to do is to jump straight in by telling you a little something about myself. And in fact, this may be true of some of you as well. I think about it a little bit more. I think it could probably be true for all of us. And what I'm talking about is this. I'm satisfied with what I have until you have something I don't have. I'm satisfied with what I have until you have something that I don't have. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're probably satisfied with what you have until you find out that somebody else has something that you don't have. And it's not just us, all right? I found this video several weeks ago about two monkeys in an experiment. And these monkeys were side by side in this divided box. And each monkey in this divided box had a task. They had a job. Each monkey was to take a rock from inside where they were and hand it to the person on the outside. When they would hand it to the person on the outside, they would get a cucumber slice as a reward, right? And so that was the task. I mean, they could do that all day long until one of them got a grape, and that pretty much changed the dynamic of the monkeys and their relationship, all righty? So we've got the video for you. Let's get that queued up. Let's start playing that right now, shall we? So the monkey hands the rock, gets the cucumber, right? Hands the rock, and he then, in turn, gets a grape. Monkey number one finds out. He gives a rock. He gets a cucumber. He doesn't like it. I mean, check that reaction out. I want a grape. Come on. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Yeah, that's wonderful. Let's cut that video, right? Right? The monkeys are satisfied with what they have, right? Until the other monkey actually gets what he doesn't have. And you know what? The same thing is true for us in our own lives, right? The same thing's true. I'm satisfied with what I have until I find out that you have something different, that you have something that I don't have. And that's true of us. I'm fine with my car. I am fine with my car until I find out you have another car. And I want the car that you have. I mean, that's just how it works. That's how we are as humans. In fact, let's not show this next slide until I call for it, okay? But let's say a friend of yours gets a new boat. Now, as a lot of you know, Sandy and I used to live on a lake. We used to have a boat. We had a boat for years. We love boating. We really do. But let's say a friend of yours gets a new boat. A brand new boat. And not just any brand new boat, but a friend of yours gets the mother of all boats. I mean, this boat is nice. Let's get that boat up there, shall we? Yeah. You're on the reservoir with this boat, right? Kokomo Reservoir, right? I mean, this is a nice boat, the mother of all boats. I mean, this thing is like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stories tall. I mean, look at this lounging area back here. There. They got a dining area here. They got a big dining area. I mean, this is the mother of all boats. You love this boat, but you realize that you have your own boat, and here's your boat, okay? Yeah, that's your boat. You're jealous of what the other guy has. You've been happy with your boat all along until your friend gets something that you don't have. I am satisfied with what I have until you get what I don't have. This, I think, is the root of most of our financial problems. We go into debt because we saw someone with something that we don't have. We no longer want to keep up with the Joneses in 2024. what, 2025? Or whenever the year is. Now we don't want to keep up with the Joneses. We want to keep up with the Kardashians, right? We want to keep up with the rich and famous. You see, the American way is this. The American way is, most Americans think to themselves, I'm always going to have a car payment. Always. Most Americans think that I'm never, ever going to have an emergency fund. I'm always going to live paycheck to paycheck. You see, we love our stuff, don't we? We absolutely love our stuff. And thousands upon thousands of products scream into our ears every single day, you'll be happier with whiter teeth. You'll be happier with a new car. You'll be happier with a big house in that neighborhood. You'll be happier with those clothes. You see, all of this is driven by comparison. Comparison. Comparison kills contentment. I look at my friends on social media and I realize that, you know what? I'm a loser. I look at my friends on social media and I realize that I'm not as amazing as I thought I was. I look at my friends on social media and I'm not as happy as I should be. And comparison just kills our contentment. Let me ask you this question. How much money does it take for you to have contentment? How much money does it take for you to be content? And the answer for most of us is more than I have right now. I'm content with my paycheck, but you know what? I would be happier if I had a little bit more. I'd be happier if I'd have a little bit more. And that's the reason that I want to talk today about the secret of contentment. Now, what is contentment? What is contentment? Author Gary Thomas said this, contentment is soul rest. Soul rest. It's also been said that contentment is when you are at rest inside, right now, as things are. Contentment is when you are at rest inside, right now, as things are. And so are you at rest? Is your soul at rest right now? Or do you have to have that one thing and then you'll be at rest? You see, for most people in our world today, they're not at rest. Oh, they're not at rest. Why? Because they don't have something. They don't have that one thing. Because they were passed over for the promotion. They were passed over for the raise. Because they don't have it, and other people have it. Oh, other people have it, but you don't have it. What is it? It could be the latest and greatest computer. It could be that car. It could be that house in that neighborhood. It could even be a grape, okay? Just saying. It could even be a grape. You see, the fiercest dragon that tries to attack us is not from the outside. The fiercest dragon is the dragon that attacks us from the inside. Now, today, if you've brought your Bibles with you, or if you have a Bible app on your phone, why don't you turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 13 today. And before we get to 10 through 13, I want to give you a tiny bit of background about Philippians. First of all, the person who wrote Philippians is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians, and the Apostle Paul, at the time when he wrote the book of Philippians, he was not in an ideal situation. He was not in a perfect situation by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, what the Apostle Paul was doing, and I think Garrett alluded to this last week, what the Apostle Paul was doing, he was sitting in prison. He was sitting in a cold, dark, smelly, damp prison cell. That was his reality. He had no freedom. He had no privacy. He had no end to sitting in that prison cell. He didn't know when he was going to get out. Understand, the Apostle Paul once, at one time, had power. At one time, he had prestige. At one time, he had possessions. But now, this guy is chained up in prison. And this church in Philippi actually sent him a care package. They sent him a care package, and in Philippians chapter 4, he's thanking them for the care package. However, before he gets to the thank you in Philippians 4, he has something that he wants to tell them. What he wants to tell them is this: God has already given him everything he needs. And I want to underscore the word needs. God had already given him everything he needs. And instead of venting his frustration about being in prison, he writes these unlikely words in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. Check this out. Paul wrote this from this prison cell. He said, "I greatly rejoice in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." And then he goes on to say, "I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be," I've learned to be what, church? I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. It's almost like Paul is saying, "Hey, listen, thanks a lot for sending the care package. I really appreciate it. It's really, really nice, but you need to know that my contentment is not about the stuff I have with me. My contentment is not dependent on my situation." And notice he said, "I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances." It almost sounds as though he's staying in the Waldorf Astoria in Maui, right? "Oh, I've learned to be content. I'm in the Waldorf Astoria there here in Maui. I'm good to go." But Paul goes on, sitting not in the Waldorf, but sitting in a prison. Paul goes on in verse 12, "Be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. And look at this again. I have learned the secret of being content in any situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." Paul said, "I have seen it all. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never, ever end. I've seen it all. I've been there, done that." And Paul said, "There is no connection. There is no connection between my circumstances and my joy. The two are not dependent upon one another. My joy is not dependent on my situation, on my circumstances. But when it comes to us, most of us, I should say, when it comes to most of us, we think to ourselves, if I just had such and such, then I'd be content. If I just had this, if I just had that, then I'd be content." And Paul says, "You can put me in any circumstance you want in this world, and guess what? I'm not going to lose my contentment. I'm not going to lose my joy. I'm not going to lose my peace. I've learned the secret of being content." And what's the secret? Look at verse 12, verse 13. He says, "I can do all things through Him," Jesus, "who gives me strength." If you've not noticed today on social media, even on TV, this verse right here is extremely, extraordinarily popular. This is so popular. Have you noticed in sports that athletes will put on their eye black, below their eyes, they'll put on their eye black, PHIL 413, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's a popular verse. Singers will say, you know what? I'm going to win a Grammy this year because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Football players, probably none of the Colts this year, but football players will say, we're going to win the Super Bowl because we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Let me clue you in. That's not what this verse is saying. That's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is not a verse that Jesus is going to help you get what you want. That's not what this verse is about. This verse is all about, I can go through any circumstance in my life and not lose my joy. I can go through any crummy situation that Satan throws at me and I won't lose my peace. I won't lose my joy. Jesus gives me the strength to face what I need to face in this life. And that means that you can be content when your kids are breaking your heart. That means that you can be content when your grandkids are breaking your heart. That means that you can be content with a bad economy. You don't have joy just because your current situation is crummy. You don't lose your joy because your circumstances are crummy. That's why this guy sitting in this prison cell that's cold and dark and damp and smelly, that's why this guy says, hey, listen, this does not take away my joy. And that begs the question, how in the world did Paul get to that point? How in the world do we get to that point? Well, I think there are three different things. And the first thing that I want to mention today is this. Contentment means trusting Jesus and not my Visa card, not my MasterCard, not my Amex. Where do you turn when financial hardship knocks on your door? Where do you turn? Do you turn to the wisdom of God's Word, or do you turn to the credit card? I mean, I've actually heard them say, hey, listen, I don't save money because I just trust God to provide. It's almost like they're quoting Philippians 4:19, where it pretty much says, God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches. Philippians 4:19. God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches. But did you know that the Bible also says this in Proverbs chapter 6, way back in the Old Testament? Proverbs 6, 6 through 8 says this, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. O commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. The ant, the simple little ant, gathers and saves. I mean, ants are great savers. They get ready for winter. In fact, you can probably take a magnifying glass. I think we still may have a few ants out there. It's getting kind of chilly for them. But you can take a magnifying glass and you can look at an ant. And I'm guessing you'll never see a depressed ant, okay? You can look at an ant. You'll never see a depressed ant. They're not stressed out. They're not crying that their stockpile of dead bugs is going down. They're depending on their reserves. And then when next summer rolls around, they'll save more. I mean, if a plan works for ants, how much better is a plan going to work for God's children? Did you know this? 7 out of 10 Americans cannot cover a $5,000 emergency. 7 out of 10 Americans cannot cover a $5,000 emergency without pulling out the credit card or borrowing the money. Look at Proverbs 21:20. There Solomon writes, the wise store up choice foods and olive oil, but the fools, oh, they gulp theirs down. You see, God's way of handling money works when the market's up and when the market's down. It works when you get a raise, and it works when you lose your job. God's principles are real-world advice that actually work. And when you learn that God's Word can be trusted about contentment, when you learn that God's Word can actually be trusted when it comes to saving, you will also learn that God's Word is true. It can be trusted when it comes to giving. Now, there's a second thing that we learn from Paul in this text, and that is contentment means being thankful for what you already have. Being thankful for what you already have. Have you ever noticed your attitude when you get the itch to buy something newer, bigger, better? Have you noticed your attitude? I've noticed mine. I've noticed that when I want to buy something new, bigger, better, whatever, right? I've noticed I start justifying myself. Let's talk about cars, right? Let's talk about cars. Oh, honey, we need to get a new car. Because the car we have right now, it's got 85,000 miles. We put a lot of miles on the car every single year. And you know what? With 85,000 and 15,000 a year, that means next year it's going to be 100,000 miles. We're going to start putting more and more money into our car. We might as well put all that money that we put into the used car, we might as well put that money into a new car, right? Right? Or I'll do this. Well, I've not done this. I've had people tell me this. Nobody here, but I've had people tell me this. You know what? We need to get a new car. We really do need to get a new car because, you know what? The car we have right now, it's a good car, but it's not a safe car. And you know what? My wife really, when she's out driving and she gets in a wreck, I want her to be in a very, very safe car. So we need to get a new car. I've had people tell me that. And there's nothing wrong with that reasoning. You know, if you're driving a Pinto. However, if you're driving a relatively new car, it's relatively safe. We tend to rationalize our wants and our wishes. Now, some of you, all of you, are going to walk out into our parking lot today. And as you walk out into the parking lot today, you're going to see all different kinds of cars. Some of you are going to see cars that you go, oh, I need a new car. Yeah, like that one. Or some of you are going to say, you know what? I need a new truck. Look at that truck. It's all and that great big huge lift kit on it. I need a different truck just like that. Or I need a luxury vehicle. Or I need a sports car. Or I need that. Let me tell you what. You're not going to go out into the parking lot and do that, are you? You're not going to go out in the parking lot today and do that, are you? No. You see, when you go out in the parking lot and you get in your 200,000-mile car, you're going to say, it could be worse. My mom used to say that to me all the time. I would gripe and complain about this, that, or the other, and Mom would say, honey, it could be worse. It could be worse. So you're going to go out there and you're going to get into your car 200,000 miles and you're going to say it could be worse. Or you get in your 200,000 mile car, you go home. You open up your apartment door or you unlock the door to your house. And you think to yourself, "Oh, if I only had a house." Or maybe you say, if I only had a nicer house, if I only had a bigger apartment, a 3-bedroom apartment, if I only, no, guess what? You're not going to go home and do that today. When you go home today in your 200,000-mile car, you're going to unlock the front door of your place, and you're going to say, you know what? Home is home. It could be worse. It could be worse, right? Now tomorrow morning, when you wake up and you roll over in bed and you look at that person lying next to you in bed, you're going to say, it could be... Anyway, moving right along. George Bernard Shaw said this, money is worth nothing to the person who has enough. Nothing to the person who has enough. You see, the person who has enough, they are truly free. What I already have is enough. The Apostle Paul wrote these words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Give thanks in what? All circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Contentment means being thankful for what you already have. And then finally this morning, contentment means cultivating a heart of generosity. Contentment means cultivating a heart of generosity. Do you know where to find the happiest people on earth? And don't say Disney World. That's the most expensive place on earth. You'll find the happiest people on earth feeding and clothing the homeless. You'll find the happiest people on earth volunteering and giving their dollars to provide Christmas to a family who just doesn't have the money. You'll find them taking their vacation time and going on a missions trip somewhere here in the United States or maybe in another part of the country. You'll find them doing car repair for a single mom and running errands for elderly people. That's where you'll find them. You'll find them giving money to kids so that they can go to camp. Or maybe they can go to a conference. You'll find them giving significant chunks of money so that other people will come to know Jesus Christ. Folks, this is how you will find contentment and break the back of materialism. When we begin to cultivate a heart of generosity, something begins to happen inside of us, and we break the back of materialism. We quit looking at our material possessions to give us joy. We quit looking at our material possessions to give us contentment. In fact, check this out. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. The Lord Jesus Himself said, this isn't in the Gospels. This is in the book of Acts. The Lord Jesus Himself said, there's more in giving than receiving. There's more happiness in giving than receiving. And the only people who don't know this truth are the people who have never tried it. I mean, all of us know people, don't we? Who have the big, beautiful houses, and they sit in their big, beautiful houses, and they are miserable because they give nothing to no one. They're miserable because they don't know how to be generous. Contentment means cultivating a heart of generosity. Remember that today when you tip your server at a restaurant. Remember that today the next time a homeless shelter calls you for a donation. Remember that the next time you have the opportunity to worship God and give to His ministry. Remember that the next time we make a plea for missions. When I wrote this sermon several weeks ago, I had no idea about Hurricane Helene. I have a friend of mine, used to be a neighbor back in Brownsburg days. He now lives in western North Carolina, sort of close-ish to the Tennessee line. He said, you wouldn't believe the villages around here. He said, there are no more. You know how you drive through the country, especially down in the south, the hills and the hollers of the south, and you drive through this little community, and the little community is probably not even named. You've got maybe a dozen houses, maybe 15 houses. You've got a couple of stores, maybe a post office if you're lucky, but probably not. He said, those little villages in my area are gone. He said, the buildings literally are gone. He said, the people are literally nowhere to be found. We fear they're dead. That's how devastating this hurricane was to Florida, to Georgia, to South Carolina, to North Carolina, to Tennessee. Now, we have partnered and have been for years and years and years with a mission out of Noblesville. We've partnered with a mission called IDES. It's an International Disaster Emergency Services Agency, and they are Christian-based. When they go into a community, they work through a church, or shall I say churches, and they have chosen already. In less than a week, they set up camp, if you will, in Live Oak, Florida. In fact, our own Condi Eckelbarger is in Live Oak, Florida right now. I got a call from Condi on Thursday. I said, hey, Lynn. He says, got a minute? Sure. He says, I'm heading out tonight to Live Oak, Florida. The Lord just really impressed upon my pea brain that I need to go and I need to help. Do you know of anybody? Can you go? Do you know of anybody that can go? I'm going. I said, let me check. I couldn't find anybody. That's where he is right now. Live Oak, Florida, that's where one of the camps, if you want to put it that way, IDES is working through a church there. And they work through churches, and this is really cool, they work through churches in order for that church to have an impact for Jesus on those families. Not only there, but they're also working out of Elizabethton, Tennessee. And that town is sort of close to, well, Tennessee, but also North Carolina. And they're working out of that area in our church as well. And they may put up other stations, I don't know what you want to call them, but they're working with the people. They're working to help people. They're working to try to rebuild their lives. They're working to plant seeds of Jesus in their lives. And what I want to do today is to take up a free will offering. We're going to have guys stationed at all of our doors. And on your way out today, if you can donate a dollar, donate a dollar. That would be wonderful. Some of you can donate $1,000. Give $1,000. Some of you can give cash out of your pocketbook. Some of you can write a check. If you write a check to IDES, IDES, IDES. In the memo line, put Hurricane Relief or Helene Relief, so that they can get that money directed to that place. And every single dollar you donate will go to that relief. It will not go to keeping their lights on. It will not go to paying their salaries. It will go to that relief. And so if you can do that, that will help you start to develop a heart of generosity. And that's what we're talking about. Those guys will be at the doors on your way out today. And that'll help you develop a heart of generosity. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have the secret of being content in any and every situation. Now, today, I want to close with an object lesson, okay? I want to close with an object lesson of three cloth bags. I'm going to have my lovely assistant, Miss Sandy, come on up here, hon. She's going to help me out today with this closing illustration. And we've been talking about contentment. We've been talking about joy. We've been talking about being happy in our circumstances, right? Now, she has three cloth bags. And the first cloth bag that we have right here is the bag, and the bag is marked joy. Bag is marked joy. All of us want joy, right? You want joy. We want joy. We all want contentment, right? We all want contentment. We all want to be happy. Now, the second bag that we have here is the bag that's marked stuff. All righty? The bag that's marked stuff. All of us have stuff. Some of us, well, I don't think so. I was going to say some of you have the mother of all boats that we looked at right here, but probably not, right? But all of us have stuff. All of us have toys. All of us have things. Some of us have more stuff than other people have. Some of us have a lot nicer stuff than other people have. It's just how it's worked out in our lives. All of us have stuff. And here's the problem. The problem comes when we take our joy and we put our joy in our stuff. That's a problem. Because understand, when it comes to our stuff wears out. Our stuff gets a lot of miles on it. Hello? Like I told you a little while ago, we've had boats for years. If you leave your boat in the lake, if you leave your boat in the river, man, it kind of tears the boat apart. You got to pull that thing out at the end of the year. You got to clean the bottom of it, and there's always wear and tear on it. I mean, our stuff wears out. Our stuff loses its luster. I mean, how many times do you get a Christmas present, and you play with that Christmas present for the next day or two or three, and then you don't pick up that Christmas present for the next 3 or 4 or 5 months? It loses its luster. It loses its excitement. And so what we want to do, we never ever want to put our joy in our stuff. What we want to do is this. What we want to do, we want to be able to put our stuff, we want to be able to put our stuff in our joy. We want to put our stuff in our joy. Because our joy is in Jesus. Our joy that we put in Jesus is eternal. Our joy that we put in our stuff never ever loses the newness. It never ever loses the luster. The joy that we have in Jesus, it is here today and tomorrow and for eternity. That's what we have. Now, the third bag that I have is the bag that's marked Jesus. That's the third bag. And if you want lasting contentment, if you want lasting joy, what you need to do is to put your stuff in your joy. You put your joy in Jesus. That's what we need to do. We put our stuff that wears out in our joy, and our joy is in Jesus. Our true, lasting, eternal, sustainable joy is in Jesus. Does that make sense? Let's give Miss Sandy a hand. Thank you, hon. If you want sustainable joy, if you want sustainable contentment, it comes only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it doesn't necessarily happen overnight, but at least in time, you begin to put things in perspective. You begin to put your stuff in perspective. Now, I want to close up today by kind of summarizing what we've talked about. There are three different things that I want you to write down in your notes. Number one, do not put your joy in your stuff. Do not put your joy in your stuff. Your stuff doesn't last. Your stuff wears out. Your stuff loses its luster. In a matter of time, you'll stop goofing around with your stuff. Number two, put your stuff in your joy. You see, your stuff is in your joy. Your joy lasts because you're putting your joy in Jesus. You're putting your joy in knowing Jesus. That's what we've talked about today. That's what Paul talks about there in Philippians chapter 4, our text for today. And so make sure you put your stuff in your joy in Jesus. Do you want sustainable contentment? Do you want sustainable joy? Do you want a joy that doesn't end? Now, there may be rough days. It's not going to be, you know, unicorns and daisies every day. But you know what? There's this joy that's not dependent on your circumstance. Your joy is not dependent on your circumstance. And that joy that I'm talking about comes through Jesus. A lot of you here already know Jesus. You know Jesus. You have that relationship. Some of you here may not have that relationship. And I want you to have that relationship because you then can have joy, sustained joy for the rest of your life. Alrighty? Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father in heaven, we love you. God, we thank you so much for all that you have done in our lives. And God, I pray today that as we have talked about this issue of resources, finances, money, joy, contentment, God, I pray we'll get to the point, each one of us will get to the point that we'll realize that our joy is not in our stuff. Our joy is in Jesus. Oh, we can have stuff. We can have a lot of stuff if we have the means to get it. But regardless of our circumstances, God, we still have joy. We may be living in a dark, damp, dank, smelly prison cell, but we'll still have joy. And that comes from Jesus, a relationship with Him. God, today, if there's anybody here that doesn't have that relationship, I pray that they will want to make that right today. God bless us as we each make decisions for various reasons. And hopefully all those decisions will bring a smile to your face. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.